My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Douglas Teeger, welcome back to Entree Architect Podcast.
Mark, thank you so much.
It's great to have you here. You were here back in October of 2020. We talked about living an inspired life as a small firm architect in episode 346. We shared your origin story back then. We talked, you know, every time you and I talk, and we talk offline too. We don't always talk when we record. We'll just sort of check in with one another every once in a while. I think you and I are very much aligned with our mission in life, right? Our purpose in life. We want to make the world a better place through helping architects be more successful.
And my mission is to live an inspiring, balanced life.
Yeah, and that's very much aligned with what I strive to achieve for myself and for the people that I can influence. And so you and I are very much on the same page. And so I wanted to have you come back and just talk, just share a little bit about what's happening in your world, with the people that you're working with, the architects you're working with. I'll share a little bit about our community and the things that I'm hearing. Because I think right now, at this moment, right, this is May 2022, we're coming out of this pandemic. The pandemic's not completely over, right? People are still getting COVID. And I think there's also a lot of stress and struggle and burnout that we're experiencing. I'm seeing that in my... And so I want to compare notes, talk a little bit. Maybe we can inspire
a few people.
Before we do that, let me just remind everybody who you are. Anybody who may not know who you are, we're actually promoting or have just recently promoted your masterclasses over at BQE. If anybody, it's sort of trying to connect the dots, Douglas Teeger. Yeah, that is the same Douglas Teeger. He graduated from Cornell University in 1982. He opened his own firm in 1989, and he grew it from a solo practitioner to he became the managing partner of a 32-person firm, his firm. In 2009, Douglas received a master's in spiritual psychology from USM, where he learned tools and skills that he shares with his clients. His ability to effectively streamline the operations allowed for more time to be spent on design and project research while creating a culture that fosters a holistic approach to a work-life balance. And that is very much the things that I want to do too with the community that we're working with. In 2017, he became the president of AIA Los Angeles and is currently serving on the AIA National Strategic Council. In 2019, Douglas transitioned out of his firm, elevating three associates to partners, and started his next venture, Teeger Consulting, which is what he's doing today. Douglas's mission is, as he mentioned just not too long ago, to live an inspired, balanced life, whether it involves family, coaching, consulting, painting, or sports. You should go check out his website. You can see his consulting side or his painting side. He says all the time, love what you do and do what you love. So Douglas, I am excited to have you here. I have no idea where this is going to go, but I am certain that it's going to be interesting because every time you and I talk, it's an interesting conversation. So it's good to have you back.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So let me start off with what I said about the moment in time that we're here, right? This is a very specific moment in time. This pandemic that we just came through and continuing to work through is obviously historic, right? People will
historic.
Look back and say, oh, the pandemic, right? The COVID pandemic changed everything.
And everyone will have a pandemic story, from all our children that are in school, no matter what grade they're in, it's going to impact them. In college, it's going to impact them. The first job experience, I have one boy in college, two out of college. Their first jobs out of college are being impacted where it's work from home. It just changes everything. And, you know, I've always said, I want to get out of judgment of good or bad and just go into choices and consequences. There is no good or bad with what's happening. What happening, it is. And then our choices, how do we want to react to it?
Very much so. Yeah. There has been a lot of bad that has happened with COVID, obviously. But I hear stories mm-hmm. all the time about opportunities people have had or new relationships that have been formed or communities. The Entree Architect community exploded during COVID.
You've done such an amazing job building that community, because a lot of people I talk to are part of your community, and it's just amazing what you created. I'm in awe of how you've put that together. And to me, the pandemic has almost been an amazing pivot for you. It's made it stronger because people need that community.
Yes, absolutely. It has grown significantly. And I think it's because, for one, everybody was locked in, right? So everybody went online to find socialization. I don't think they did that intentionally right away, but I think that happened by default, right? That was the way we were communicating. Zoom became a part of our existence. A big reason why the Entree Architect community has grown so significantly over the past few years is that the date in April 2020, when the world shut down, right? Everybody remembers that week when everybody realized in the United States that COVID was real, right? And that businesses were shutting down and schools were locking down and everything, right? We were all afraid. We had no idea what was going to happen. We were worried about our businesses. We were worried about our projects and our clients. We were worried about our families. And so Jeff Eccles is my associate at Entree Architect. We meet every week. And we decided we need to go into the community, go live every day for a week. That was the plan. Let's just go there, right? Because everybody was afraid. We just said, we're going to announce this is going to be something you can rely on for this next, right? We're just going to go live on Facebook Live in this private group. We will be there for you. So you show up every day at 4 o'clock and we're going to be there. And we'll just talk about whatever we talk about, right? And so we did that. Jeff and I did that for a week. And then it became very obvious that this was something that needed to continue, right? That there was a core community that was being developed inside this other bigger community, right? The community at the time was mm-hmm. probably around 5,500, maybe 6,000 architects. Today, it's almost 8,000 architects.
I mean, that's phenomenal. If you think about it, there's only 110 or 20,000 AIA right. registered architects. You have almost 10% of that. I mean, that's phenomenal.
And they're primarily small firms, right? So they're mostly small firm architects, mostly and lots of sole practitioners. And Jeff took over and committed to doing it. Didn't really have an idea of what we were going to do. We renamed it Context and Clarity, right? Because we wanted to give people a context, right? Give some sort of context to this moment that we're living in. And we wanted to provide some sort of clarity. And so we named it Context and Clarity, and Jeff decided he was going to take it over and run with it. And he committed to showing up every weekday at 4 p.m. and has not stopped every weekday since April 2020, over 500 episodes. He has shown up every day, every weekday, 5 days a week, at 4 p.m., goes from 4 to 5 p.m. every day, and is there for the community. And the community shows up.
I love that. That is fantastic. If he only took a picture of every episode, he'd have NTFs for NTFs.
Exactly. And so he has done this every week. And the core community continues to show up. He has about 40, 50 people show up every day. And it has become a part of the lives of these people.
So you talk about community. And as human beings, we are tribal. And, you know, as we grew in societies, our tribe became who we associate with, whether it's a family tribe, your work tribe, your community tribe. That's the root of humanity, is to be tribal. So to find someone you can connect with and you share a common goal is critical. And that ties into your own firm. What is the tribal nature of your firm? What's the community you're building in your own firm? And I think that gets so overlooked And it's just interesting that you're talking about that sense of community. And that same sense of community comes down to your own firm. Even if you're two or three people, even if you're one person, you find outside people that become right. part of your tribe that you can talk to. And that's where you're so successful with Entree Architecture. It provides that community for those solo practitioners.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And I always say that even if you're a solo practitioner, you need sounding boards. And my whole pitch is I'm a partner for hire with no equity, because solo practitioners don't have someone to bounce ideas off of. And it's so important. What I learned when I left my firm, I was very much in the weeds as a managing partner. Being able to step back, and over the last 2 years that I've been consulting, I'm getting able to stay at that 30,000 foot perspective and help all my staff, my clients, to get out of the weeds and look down from that 30,000 foot perspective and say, what do we want to change? And it's hard to do that on your own. You know, you need someone to bounce those ideas off of. It's possible, but I think it's very challenging to be a solo practitioner in the weeds and elevating to 30,000 feet.
I mean, you know, our sole practitioners and small firm business, you know, small firm architects, business owners are overwhelmed with all the things they're doing, right? Even before the pandemic, it's just the nature of small businesses. You're doing everything. And so you're overwhelmed by this. And now with this long multiple years of being locked down and having the stress of having a pandemic, being afraid to leave your home, that is damaging, right? To a society. It's damaging to a culture.
Why put such a word as damaging? Why not just accept it? This is what is. So why be in resistance and label something as damaging?
Let's
we're
go
all
there.
In it. Okay, we're all dealing with it.
I agree with you. But I think that there are negative consequences to what we've been going through, right? And
but there's also positive consequences.
Oh, totally agree with you. And I 100% agree with you that it is what it is. Right, we can't change it by looking at it in a negative way, but I think it's as a leader, it is very important for me to acknowledge that there are people in our community who are suffering specifically because of what they've been through. I see it every day that there is an epidemic of burnout. That there is people who are feeling overwhelmed and feel like, I have just had enough of this. I can't do this anymore, right? And I think it has, you know, architecture is a difficult profession. Small firm architecture is difficult to create and manage a small firm. Then you have clients who are also experiencing all of these things as a result of the pandemic. And so I think that it is important to acknowledge that that we are feeling that, right? So we can then address it. I agree with you 100% that we have to accept that it is what it is. And there's lots and lots of positive things that have happened. Like I had said, that Context and Clarity community has been life-changing for the people in that community. It has been life-changing for me and the Entree Architect. And that's just one example, right, of a positive thing.
So if we stay with that example of burnout and the stress that comes along with it, I really like to focus on setting boundaries. And setting boundaries doesn't mean we're selfish. It's self-honoring. So I think there's a big difference between selfish and self-honoring. And with all my clients, there are challenges across the spectrum of client boundaries, you know, staff boundaries. And if you're a staff member, you have to honor yourself for your own work ethic boundaries.
Explain that. Go deeper in that. What does that mean in terms of boundaries?
I think so much of what has happened over the pandemic is that people are spending more time on the work because they're not traveling. Yes. They are stuck at home. They are, a lot of them love what they do, not very like, love so, what they do. So it's able to sit in front of a screen for 10, 12, 14 hours. I mean, my son and the consulting industry is like 16, 18 hours a day. And I'm telling him, you know, where's the work-life balance? And that's an inner choice. There's no right or wrong here. It's just an inner choice of what are your boundaries that are going to be in alignment with your life. What else do you want to do other than architecture? I'm a firm believer in the concept that we are a divine being having a human experience who happens to practice architecture. I think if we identify as architects, we have the potential to be unhappy with putting the value outside of us. So if we identify as an architect, we're going to be happy if we do great work. We're going to be happy if the client's happy. We're going to be happy if the public loves the building that we're producing. Those are all external factors. So if we shift that and say, I'm a divine being having a full life, my happiness is not dependent on external factors. And it's taken me 60 years to begin to get to this acceptance and reality of that. It's very hard to, easier to say than to do. But if we separate out, we are a divine being having all these human experiences who happens to practice architecture. So as a divine being, the only thing a divine being is pure love. There is no judgment. There is no right or wrong. There is nothing other than being in our loving is the divine essence. So from a place of that loving, how are we being self-honoring? Are we loving ourselves when we work 14 hours a day? Yeah. We don't exercise. We don't eat well. We don't sleep well. Is that self-honoring?
You're speaking my language now, Douglas. I am there with you. And I think that is, let's go deeper there, because there are architects, especially, you know, we can go right back to the Context and Clarity crew, that do, they're so dedicated, right? And they're so passionate about what they do.
And that's a great
but
thing.
I see many of them do not allow themselves the time away from the things that they're working on, right? And that there is more to our lives, a holistic life, than architecture.
But there's something else that I think is tying into this. So we all have an amygdala in the back of our brain. The amygdala is the fight or flight response that served us very well when, you know, we were cavemen and a big animal was going to attack us. You know, we ran, but now we get triggered by emotions. We get triggered by events that our amygdala just puts us into hyper gear where there might not be a real logic for that. So if we talk about why are we working such long hours, is it because we're afraid that we're going to get fired? We're afraid the client's not going to like what we're doing? We're, you know, what's if we can understand the why as to you're doing it? Now, I have some clients that their off time is looking at architecture. Their off time is traveling to beautiful buildings. Their whole life is about architecture. I'm saying that's okay. Once again, there's no right or wrong. But are you having downtime in your day, in your week, in your month, in your year? And if you use any sports analogy, everyone has to come in for a recovery. So in race cars, they all come in for a pit stop. Marathon runners take a long pause between marathons. Any professional football player has the off season. And as professionals, I think we lose perspective of that recovery time. And it's up to us to set the boundary that we can't go at 100%. You can't rev your engine 100% and not expect it to break down. So how are we taking care of ourselves every week and every month? And how are we scheduling our personal time off that can recharge our batteries? And that's what I'm just asking the question, are you being self-loving and self-honoring to do that?
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. There's a lot to love about being an entrepreneur architect, right? But trying to figure out our financials on our own is not one of those things. Luckily, we have FreshBooks, the all-in-one accounting solution that's built for business owners like us. FreshBooks takes all the not-so-fun parts of running a business From building and tracking invoices, to managing online payments, to organizing expenses, and automates them with features like the digital bills and receipt scanner, saving you up to 11 hours a week in the process. It's also super easy to get up and running, and the award-winning FreshBooks support team, they are always available to answer any questions along the way. Compare that to some of the other financial management tools out there. Try FreshBooks for free for 30 days, no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/architect to get started today. That's freshbooks.com/architect. So what will you do with 11 more hours each week? This episode is brought to you by Arcat.com. We all have that one story, that one project that had such a unique situation that it required a solution that you had rarely considered before. We share these stories in private professional circles with our friends and our colleagues, but there has never been a collection of these stories of conflict and triumph all in one place until now. Detailed is a podcast series that features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who share their insights and expertise as they highlight some of the most complex, interesting, and oddball building conditions that they have ever encountered, and the ingenuity it took to solve them. Join host Charisse Lakeside, aka CSI Kraken, a senior specifications writer at RDH Building Science, as she uncovers lessons learned to help you navigate similar challenges that may arise in your next project. Detailed, an original podcast by Arcat. Listen and subscribe right now at arcat.com/podcast. That's arcat.com/podcast, arcat.com/podcast. Detailed, every building has a story. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Do you have a process or a suggestion even on how to do that, right? Because I think a lot of architects, you had said before, I am an architect, right? That defines us and we become—
They identify as an architect.
Right.
Their value is tied to being an architect and producing a great work of art.
And we've done it for so long now that we don't know how to get out of that loop, right?
Yeah.
I know there are people right now who are listening to us and saying, yes, that's me. Yeah. But I don't know how to stop. Right? I don't know what to do. So can we help those people? Is there, what would you suggest that, let's say somebody hires you and they're working one-on-one with you and you just told them all of that. And they're like, yeah, right. They have tears in their eyes. They're like, yes, that is me.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to stop being that.
There's a great quote by Viktor Frankl, who is a Holocaust survivor, who wrote, Man's Meaning, I'd have to look up the exact title, Man's Meaning in Life, something like that. The quote is, or he has many quotes, but the one that I want to talk about is, between stimulus and response, there is a gap. And in that gap, we have a choice. Between stimulus and response, there is a gap. And in that gap, we have a choice. So the story that comes to my mind, and I learned this concept when I was going through my program. I had an 8-year-old son at the time. He liked vanilla soy lattes. So I brought it home in the cup. He wanted to pour it into a ceramic mug. I said, take the top off. He says, no, it'll flow out nicely. So sure enough, he turns the cup over. He squeezes the styrofoam. The top pops off. The coffee goes everywhere. My first reaction was, oh my God, I just told you don't do that. But I paused. I caught myself.
Yeah.
And through awareness, I caught myself and I said, you must be so bummed out that that happened. Can I help you clean it up? And he just melted. And that would be really nice, Dad. And that shifted our relationship, because that ability to pause, and whether it's with a client, a staff member, any time that you can pause and catch yourself with the awareness, what choice do I want to make in this moment? And the the magic is just becoming aware of the present moment, aware that you're off course is being on course. If we use the analogy of sailing, getting from point A to point B, a sailboat never goes in a straight line. It's always zigzagging towards point B. But the captain is aware of being off course to get on course, to get to where he wants to go. So it's that concept of awareness. I really think enlightenment is just to become present and aware. That's it. If you can do that, you're enlightened. Yeah. But the ability to truly be present and truly to be aware and to pause in that gap between any stimulus, are you being triggered? Then where is that trigger coming from? So I'd constantly ask my clients, what triggered you? And then go back in their history and where did that come from? And can we provide healing to that part that can allow them to not be triggered in the future when something happens?
So it has a lot to do with being self-aware, right? To start paying attention to yourself, paying attention to the stimulus and therefore the response and the that trigger, moment, right? And and recognizing that gap that you talked about, the gap exists because that's the moment that you have the choice.
Yes.
In that gap, right? You feel that. And often anybody who's not being aware of it will just respond, right?
Yes.
They will just trigger.
And I even being aware of this, I fall back into instant triggers.
Sure.
When something is really at one of my core issues, I regress into that immediate reaction rather than just laughing and say, oh my God, that's fascinating. Let me look at that.
And that's because that's human nature, right? That is that fight or flight response. Our brains say, run, there's a tiger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there is a gap, even when there's a tiger, right?
Right.
But today there are no tigers. Right.
Yeah.
Today it's not that critical. And so if we become
more aware, it's self-created.
Right. And if we become more self aware and emotionally aware, understand that stimulus and the triggers that we typically respond with, when those things happen, we can recognize them and then choose our response, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know, my favorite word lately is curiosity, to be curious. So no matter what someone says, just be curious. Oh my God, you know, let me think about that.
Yeah, pause. You
know, maybe there's truth to that. I mean, the first question I always say is there any truth to what the other person said? You know, if you're triggered, is there truth? Because we're only triggered if we have that inside ourselves. So once again, let's bring it back to children. You know, if I'm triggered because my child is talking back to me, and I have one child that was very, he had such confidence to push and question me. He would question me and I'd get angry. The reason I got angry is I haven't always stood up for myself in the past. So I was resentful that he was standing up for himself. And that was my trigger. But it's like, oh my God, you know, where do I do that or where do I not do that? And is that causing that reaction? And so it's just being curious if no matter what happens. So at dinner table, my son can say something that triggers my wife, but doesn't trigger me because I don't have that as my issue inside. So that ties into another quote, how you react to the issue is the issue.
Say that again.
How you react to the issue is the issue.
Is the issue.
Because if I'm not triggered, if I can stay neutral, I can just be curious. I can go deeper. I can just not be defensive. And a lot of times with clients, this happens a lot. Some of my clients get defensive when a client is saying something. And I'm saying, just take it as information. Is there truth to what they're saying? And then ask that question and be curious about it. And if you are triggered, my God, that was a great question. I'm really curious about that. I just need some time to digest it. And just to become clear with how to respond, to give yourself some time to really think so we can just talk from this neutral place.
Yeah. And that goes for life as well as business, right? If you're on a job
site.
It's
all about life. Life and business are the one.
It's all the same.
Yeah. I think it's when it's separated that you're not whole inside, or when it's just on one side or the other, it's out of balance.
Yeah.
So that's where I talk about this work-life balance. There is no separation. In the concept of the quest for the Holy Grail, to me, the quest is the grail. There is no grail at the end of a lifetime of work. There's just the journey.
Yeah.
There's the quest. So are we loving our life right now? And if not, why not? Because this is it. It's not going to get better in the future if you make more money.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better if you get the better job.
I think that's something that so many of us struggle with is that we're living for the future rather than living in the moment.
Yes. Now I'm not saying don't plan for the future. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we can plan.
Yeah.
But we're not living I'll be happy when.
Right.
And my whole life, okay, I went to architecture school. I finished the 5-year program in 4 years because I'll be happy once I start working. Once I start working, I'll be happy when I'm with a world-class firm. Once I'm with a world-class firm, I'll be happy when I have my own firm. I have my own firm, I'll be happy when I get married. When I get married, I'll be happy once I have a family and have kids. And I didn't shift that till my program in my, you know, late 40s. So it's me too. You know, I know it because I lived it.
Yeah. And the shift from that, it's very intentional.
It has very
to be an intentional decision to make that. And the more we talk about it, the more I realize and recognize what you're saying, that it is about that gap. It is about that pause. It's about establishing a practice of pausing.
Pause with awareness.
Right. That you recognize the stimulus. If you practice the pause, right? If you recognize the pause and practice to pause, then you can then make a choice on your response.
Yes.
And that takes practice.
A lot of practice.
Right? It's not something that will just, you're not going to just change it today, but the things that we're talking about, right? The stress that we're experiencing, the anxiety we're experiencing, the burnout that we want to label it burnout. That's what that is, right? It is.
You're on the treadmill.
Yeah, the stimuli after stimuli after stimuli being triggered over triggered after triggered after triggered, and it gets overwhelming and exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where this quote came from. You know, my father shared it with me, and I don't know the origin story of it. But there's four levels of competence. There's unconscious incompetence, conscious incompetence, conscious competence, and unconscious competence. And that's a progression of awareness, because so much of us aren't even aware that we're not taking care of ourselves and we're just on this treadmill and we're not being self-honoring. Unconscious incompetence.
Yeah.
Conscious incompetence is we're aware of it and we haven't yet decided to do something about it, but we're aware of it. Conscious competence is starting to say, I'm going to pause, walk around the block, exercise, meet someone for dinner, cook healthy dinners, conscious competence. Unconscious competence is, it's just who you are now.
Yeah. It's a very deep episode here.
Well, I'm smiling and laughing.
Yeah.
So no, it can be deep.
I know that my community, our community are looking for answers to these problems. And to recognize that we have to take care of ourselves. We have to be aware of our own responses to the stimuli. To be conscious of that is the answer, right? You have to start there. You have to start paying attention to yourself.
And it's almost the difference, because you said looking for answers. I'd almost want to shift it to asking better questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even with my clients, I have to hold myself back to provide the answer versus to ask the question, because I truly believe everyone has the answers inside of themselves for what's right for them. I don't know what's right for you. I only know what works for me. So if I can just ask the question to have you figure out what's right for you, that's going to be the success. It's like teaching someone to fish versus giving them fish. I need my clients to work for themselves to figure out how to do it, where I'm a sounding board. I am just providing good questions, and you're going to decide what choice do you want to make.
Yeah.
But it's not looking for the answer. It's looking for the question.
Yeah.
And asking the right question.
And it's a practice, right? It's something that we mm-hmm. have to be aware of and do it every day over and over and over again. And it becomes part of your life.
It becomes your life.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. It doesn't become part of your life. It is your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating. You and I could go on for another 4 hours talking about, but I think that gives our listeners a place to start, to recognize that there is something going on, to be present, to be aware of what's happening, to be intentional, to practice that pause, right? To establish a practice of pausing.
To make self-honoring choices. I mean, I think that is...
Right. And that's the foundation
thing. To make self-honoring. And that doesn't mean, once again, making self-honoring choices does not mean you're being selfish.
Right.
It means you're being authentic. And not everyone is going to like the choice that you make, but that's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
If you're coming from that place of loving, from that true place of loving, without judgment, not loving as in loving a girlfriend, from that foundational loving. And I didn't want to get into religion and spirituality and all of that, but from that true place, you can do no wrong, because that's the pure essence of just a beautiful soul. From that place, what's authentic?
Yeah.
And it's very hard to separate out the ego from that soul, because the ego can trick. The ego plays amazing tricks. The ego could say, I'm being very spiritual now and I'm in that place of loving. But is it the ego saying that, or is it that real place? I mean, it gets into a whole, deep rabbit hole of separating out the ego from that authentic self.
Yeah. And you're right, spot on with me. I mean, I finish every episode for over, this is episode 467, but I've been saying at the end of every episode for at least 200 episodes, love, learn, share. That's what I finish every episode with. That is it. Someone once asked me, what would you, if you had only three lessons to share with your children, if everything else was wiped away and you only had three lessons to share, those are the lessons that I would share. I would share love, learn, share, right? Love, not only your, and this is actually interesting, because when I established love, my thought was love one another, right? That's what I try to do, and I try to encourage others. And that's what the foundation of Entree Architect is established.
But you have to start with loving yourself.
Yes.
If you don't love yourself, you cannot love others.
Exactly. And that wasn't, I didn't realize that until just now as we're discussing this, that love is not just for others. It is also for ourselves.
Yeah.
So when you hear me say at the end of every episode, love, learn, share, remember that it's not just about loving one another, but it's also about loving yourself, about acknowledging the work that you do and who you are and how you respond and all of the things that make who you are.
You know, I start my coaching sessions with a meditation, and it's just a simple breathing exercise, 30 seconds of silence. But then I go into, and now bring your awareness to gratitude, always starting with gratitude for yourself, for all that you are. Gratitude for your loved ones, family, friends, staff, clients, and gratitude for the learning opportunity each of these people provides you. And the importance is everything in life is just a learning opportunity. And everyone in our life is a mirror for us. And there's a learning opportunity from everyone in our life, whether they're giving us triggers or whether they're bringing us joy. Both of that we can learn from. If someone is bringing us joy, I'd be curious why. I'm seeing myself in that other person. I'm seeing the love I have for myself in the love that person has for themselves. And that's the love that you're talking about, of love, learn, share. It's that mutual love fest, that mutual appreciation and acknowledgement of, like, namaste. So my license plate is namaste. Namaste is I honor and respect the light in you that I see inside myself. So it's that mirror.
Yeah. It's both, right? It's you and me. I never knew that. I just started practicing it 3 months ago.
Oh, congratulations.
And I've known that. Thank you. And I've known that word since I was a child. I've heard the word. Yeah.
I honor the light in you that is also in me.
I love it. All right. We have to wrap this up, Douglas. But before we wrap it up.
No wrapping it up.
Yeah.
It never ends.
Well, we can come back.
It's always a journey.
We can do this over and over again because I love having these conversations. And I would suspect that the people who are listening right now who may have stumbled upon this episode, not realizing what they were about to listen to, are glad they heard it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there were many opportunities.
I appreciate that.
And to expand on it, because I always learn something. I'm always inspired when I speak with you, when you're having a chat.
And I am inspired by everything that you've created and who you are and your soul. I mean, I'm looking at the video of Mark, and he's a beautiful soul.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So there's thousands of architects, and I want to leave them with one thing. And this is the one question that I ask everybody, but I think this is a really important question because if we can, you know, we just left them with a whole lot of stuff, right? Right now they're thinking, oh my goodness, I have a lot to think about here. What would you say is the one thing that they should start with? What is the one thing that they should do right now or today to start moving in the direction about going?
Micro changes. I don't care what it is. Anything that's going to move your life forward for the better is going to compound over time. And just one little thing today, another little thing tomorrow, nothing major, small micro changes. And those micro changes over years are going to be huge. It's like compounding interest.
Yeah.
So we don't need to make a big change. Micro.
That gives it a good first step. Douglas Teager is his name. You can learn all about what Douglas does. If you want to reach out to him, you want to work with him as a consultant, you want to check out his art. Do you have your race cars on there too?
I do. Motorcycles.
Yeah. Motorcycles. I knew it was something with motors. DouglasTeager.com is the place you should go and go check him out. Go say, you know what? Just go to DouglasTeager.com right now. Click the little contact or whatever he's got over there to contact him. And just say thank you. Do it right now. DouglasTeager.com. Say thank you for being on the Entree Architect podcast, because I think this is, for me, it was a very enlightening episode to have this conversation.
We started with no topic in mind.
I knew it would be good because you and I are very much aligned with our purpose in life.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, even before we wrap up here, I didn't realize that what you do is so grounded in faith. And that is very much aligned with me too. I don't talk about that very much. But that is the foundation of what I'm doing with, that's my, ministry.
Yes.
Is Entree Architect. If I can help architects be more successful in their business and their life, and that makes them better and their lives better, which then makes the world better, then I've done my mission.
I love that. I'm in complete alignment.
Yeah.
We are one and the same.
So go check out DouglasTeager.com. Say thank you. Douglas, thank you for all the work that you do. And thank you for coming by here, having this amazing conversation here at Entree Architect Podcast.
I appreciate it.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a rating, write a review, go write a review. I would love to know what you think of this podcast, and it helps other architects find us. So go do 5-star rating if you like it. Share, write a review, I'd love it. And share a link to this episode with a friend, because that's how we've grown. That's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands of architects throughout the world just like you. Thank you to our sponsors, RCAT and FreshBooks, for their support of this episode. I ask you to support them because they support us. And if they're supporting us, they're supporting you. So go support them. Got it? Go support our sponsors. Links to our sponsors. So you can click on those links and go right to them. Links to our sponsors and all the resources we shared today are available at the show notes for this episode at entrearchitect.com/podcast. All the shows are there. entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows. I think there are 11 of them there now. Go there, gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. And I hope you're going to join us in Austin, November 1st through November 3rd, 2022. Those are the dates for the Entree Architect Community Annual Meeting, our first ever live and in-person conference for you, the small firm architect community. Visit entrearchitect.com/annual meeting right now to learn more. That's entrearchitect.com/annual meeting, and I will see you in Austin in November. Don't miss this. This is going to be great. entrearchitect.com/annual meeting. It's a conference for you, small firm architects. Thank you for listening today to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. Love, learn, and share what you know.